We're beginning Masechta Megillah. So we just finished Masechta Tainis, and the Rambam explains that the connection is that Masechta Tainis, at the end of it, we were talking about the fast that have to do with the Churban, Shivas of Atam, who was in Tisha B'Av. Those were established by the Navi of the time of the Churban. They're mentioned in the Navi Zechariah 70 years later, where the people are asking him, should we still continue to fast now that the second Mishmikdash has been built? So now comes Masechta Megillah, which was also established by the Chachamim, including the Nevi'im, namely by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah in the next generation. The story of Purim, remember, happened near the end of Golus Bavel, or to be exact, Bavel wasn't the power anymore. It was already Golus Paras Amadai, but it was during the 70 years after the Churban before they were able to finish building the second Mishmikdash. So therefore, the Rambam says that's the connection, and that's why Megillah comes after Masechta Tainis. Maybe it's very appropriate, Sebashkoch Pratis was starting it on Asara B'Tavis. One thing about Purim is it's connected a lot with Achdus of the Jewish people. You have Esther tells Mordechai, Lech Knoisis Kol HaYehudim, go gather all the Jewish people together. But Achdus, Haman's, in fact, one of his accusations was that we're Amrefuzah of Aferdad, that we're scattered and disunited nation. Asara B'Tavis that ever talked about in the later years, one time, the idea of how the event of it, Samach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim, that Nebuchadnezzar started besieging Yerushalayim, that also represents Achdus of the Jewish people, everybody being Ba'achdus in the same situation, and the Samach Melech Bavel hints at the idea of how one Yid is Soymech on another one, so the Achdus of Purim should counteract the negativity of what happened on Asara B'Tavis, and Yehovchu Yom Elul L'Sosin L'Simcha. So the subject of the Masechta, the first half of the Masechta is mostly about Purim, although we're going to have a lot of digressions. After that, the last two prakim mostly focus on the dinim of, once we're talking about laning the Megillah, then we also talk about dinim of laning in general and of a shul in general. So the last two prakim deal with those topics. Within Purim itself, actually, really, we're going to see the Mishnah. It's interesting. The Masechta is not called Masechta Purim, even though it deals with Purim as a whole, because it really doesn't, actually. The Mishnayos, at least, only deal with the details of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. They mention one of the Mishnayos later on, Derech Agav, almost Derech Agav, mentions Matonis Lev Yonim and Shalach Monis, but it doesn't really get into any detail of them. All of the details about those mitzvahs, all the details we know about them, come from Brises and statements of Amoroyim in the Gemara. So there's actually the Oy of Yisrael, the After Rav, has an explanation about it. He says that that Chanukah and Purim essentially, Al Pi Kabbalah, he says, Chanukah and Purim are associated with Netzach and Hoid. You find that in various places in Chabad Hasidus as well. And Netzach and Hoid are kind of like outside the body. They represent in Tanan Veil, in Posach. Chaliyo, rather, we say that they represent the legs, so they're kind of outside the main part of the body. So then Mikra Megillah, the Megillah itself, he says, is associated with Chochma and Eraisim, Chochma Naftas, therefore it's dealt with in the Mishnah. But we see that Chanukah in general is not dealt with in the Mishnah. There's no Masechta for it, and then the dinim of it are not anywhere in the Mishnayos. All the details of it are in a Gemara and Shabbos. So by the same token, when it comes to Purim, he says most of the dinim of it are not in the Mishnayos either, with the exception of Mikra Megillah. So therefore, that might explain, he doesn't say this, he doesn't talk about the name of the Masechta, but that might explain why the Masechta is called Megillah rather than being called Purim, because he doesn't really talk about the other dinim of Purim. Anyway, so the Mishnah starts, Megillah nikreis b'yud aleph b'yud gimel b'yud aleph b'yud beis b'yud gimel b'yud dalet b'tesvav. The Mishnah can be read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th of Adar. Lo pachas v'lo yoser. Neither less nor more, meaning not before the 11th, not after the 15th. There's many places in Chassidus where it talks about the deeper idea behind that the earliest date, the 11th, is the gematria of the name of Vov Kei, as in the last two letters of Hashem's name. The 15 is the gematria of Yud Kei, which is the is the gematria of Yud Kei, which are the first two letters of Hashem's name. So therefore, we're saying that we go from Vov Kei all the way up to Yud Kei in the course of Purim and in the course of reading the Megillah. Also that the sum of the numbers from 11 to 15, the total of those five numbers added together equals 65, which is the gematria of the Shem Adonai, also representing, in other words, that there's very high geluyim of other course that come out when you're reading the Megillah. And white pachas v'lo yoser, neither before nor after, because before would be the 10th, after would be the 16th. 10 and 16 equals 26, which is gematria shem avaya. So we're saying you're not going to reach. We don't accomplish with the reading of the Megillah the gilui of shem avaya be'etzem. Or we do. I mean, but in a different way. But not before and after. Not. From 10 plus 16, which would equal 26, Shema Vaya, but rather from the combination of the numbers 11 through 15, and the combination of 11 and 15 themselves, which also equals Shema Vaya. Specifically, again, it represents Vav K and Yud K. That's the deeper idea behind it. Anyway, so what do we mean that the Megillah is read on those days? Cities that were walled since the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and we'll see in the Gemara why. Dafka that time, Kurdin Betesvav, they read the Megillah on the 15th, on Shushan Purim. Furim by Yoris Gdolis Kurdin Yudalid, villages and large cities read on the 14th. So then in that case, that takes care of everybody. That's the 14th and 15th. So where do we have the 11th, 12th, and 13th? Elashak, Furim Akdimin Liyem Aknissa, the villages are allowed to move up the date of Kriyas HaMegillah to the Yom HaKnisa. Now, what is Yom HaKnisa? So Rashi says that Yom HaKnisa refers to Monday or Thursday. Now, Monday and Thursday, Rashi explains, the people from the villages are coming into the bigger cities to go to Dinei Torah. Anybody who has a Din Torah, the Bote Dinim sit in the larger cities on Mondays and Thursdays. So they're coming into town on those days anyway, since they don't have in their village anybody who's going to know how to lay in the Megillah for them. So the Chachamim allowed, instead of making them come in on the 14th itself, whatever day of the week it is, instead, for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara, we allow them to come in the previous Monday or Thursday. So therefore, if Purim itself comes out, if Purim comes out on Monday or Thursday, then fine, they lay in on that day. But if not, then we give them a dispensation to be able to lay in the Megillah a few days earlier on the previous Monday or the previous Thursday. There are several details in this where different Rishonim argue with Rashi. For one thing, when Rashi says they come in order to go to Beis Din, various Rishonim say that actually the reason is they come in order to hear Kriyas HaTorah, which takes place on Mondays and Thursdays. Another point is Rashi is saying that one of the people of the city lanes for them, but a number of the Rishonim point out, how could that be? On the 11th or 12th or 13th, the person who lives in the big city is not yet Chayev in Megillah. He's only going to become Chayev on the 14th or the 15th if it's a walled city. So how can he be Motzi then? So therefore, they answer that fine. What it means is one of their own people will lane for them in the big city. So they're going to need to come to the big city because otherwise they won't have a minion, or otherwise they won't have a Megillah or whatever. But the actual person who lanes, the Ritva and other Rishonim learn, would actually have to be one of their own people, because otherwise how could he be Motzi then? The Rishonim also deal with an interesting point. The Chachamim usually try to make that there should be one uniform rule for the whole Jewish people. We have, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, loitzis goydudu, which includes, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, that it includes that you shouldn't have different groups of Jews doing different things. We try to make as much as possible, so inevitably it can't be always. Sometimes you have different minhagim. But for example, we do try to have them go together as much as possible. So why over here did the Chachamim make a takana of Kriyas HaMegillah and of celebrating Purim in such a way where, to begin with, the regular cities and the walled cities have different days for reading the Megillah. The Bnei Akvarim, fine, we're saying there's a dispensation for reasons that we're going to talk about in the Gemara. But why did they establish it in the first place that the Kfarim versus that the Ayoris Gdolos versus the Krakim and Mokaf Mokhaima, that they have different days for Purim? So then Abban starts talking about it. He says, okay, but Pashtus, you could say, because that's how it was in the Megillah. You find that on the 14th, they rested in the regular cities, and on the 15th, they rested in the walled cities. But he said, that's not really enough. The fact is that the walled city in Shushan, they also had a Ness on the 13th. It just continued into the 14th. So fine, you should say in Shushan and other walled cities, they would celebrate 2 days. But they would celebrate an extra day. Why are we saying that they have a completely different day? So he has a very interesting explanation where he says he analyzed the psukim and came to the following conclusion. When the events of Purim happened, historically, so that was after Kodesh had already given permission for the Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael and start building the second Beis HaMikdash. Then what happened was the Kusim and other Goyim over there massed on the Jewish people, claimed they're going to rebel, and therefore Kodesh or his successors rescinded the permission. The story of Purim takes place during the 18 years between when they interrupted the building and when the Nevi'im told them to continue, and eventually they got permission from Daryavash, the son of Ahasuerus. Meanwhile, though, the Ramban says during that time, most of the Jews had already gone up to Eretz Yisrael. So he learns, we usually say, the Pasuk says that 40-some thousand Jews went to Eretz Yisrael. We usually learn that those were the minority of Jews, that most Jews stayed behind in Babel. The Ramban learns that no, those were actually the majority of Jews. So at that point, at the time the events of Purim happened, then he says, the Jews were already mostly living in Eretz Yisrael, in cities of their own, under Jewish governorships. So therefore, when Haman's Gzeira came out, then many of them were not as worried about what's going to happen. They figured they're in cities. Some of them even are walled cities. So what happened was, so okay, you had Haman's Gzeira. Haman was defeated and killed, and his Gzeira was rescinded. So what happened was then, okay, everybody celebrated that year, the following year, when they rested from defeating their enemies. But what happened was then, regular cities in future years on their own started celebrating Purim just without the Chachamim even telling them to, because they realized what danger they had been in their unwalled cities where the Goyim could easily attack them, and therefore they started celebrating Purim spontaneously on their own. The people in the walled cities, the Ramban says, didn't bother. They figured we weren't in that much danger in the first place, and therefore they didn't see a need to celebrate it in future years. A few years later, then, the Chachamim decided we have to establish a Yom Tov Purim. We're going to learn on Daf Zayin. They found a source in Torah. They found a hint in Torah for this concept. So at that point, Mordechai wrote to all the Jews throughout the world, including in the walled cities, telling them you have to celebrate Purim also. So what they did is then, the Ramban finishes off, that they decided then the people in the walled cities deserve their own day to celebrate. First of all, because of the day that the Ness happened for them. And second of all, because they're the ones who came up with the idea first. So we want to honor them for the fact that they came up with the mitzvah first. Therefore, we give them their own day, and the walled cities only celebrate the next day. So in a nutshell, that's what he says is why the Chachamim saw fit to establish Purim on two separate days, for regular cities and for walled cities. But then the Malbim on Megillas Esther, by the way, has a somewhat similar take on it, although with a twist of his own. He says that what happened was that in the big cities, they had the soldiers of the king were on their side, helping them defeat the Goyim, and they didn't realize the ministers and the ministers and the governors and whatever in the various provinces, once Haman was hanged, they were afraid to publish his letters that the Goyim have the right to attack the Jewish people. So therefore, and again, in the small cities where they didn't have the soldiers helping them, they knew what danger they had been in. In the big cities, they didn't even realize that there had been any danger in the first place. Okay, so Haman came up with a Gzeira on his own. It never had Ahasuerus' permission, or it did, but Ahasuerus completely rescinded it. So therefore, Mordechai had to explain to them, says the Malbim, you have to realize what danger you were in. Haman did publish these Gzeiras with the consent of the king. The Gzeiras were never formally rescinded because
Ein lahashiv, as Achashverosh says to Esther, it's only that the king gave permission that instead of it being a one-sided thing where the goyim can attack the Jews, it's a two-sided thing where the Jews have the right to defend themselves. And therefore, Mordechai informs the people of the walled cities, realize what danger you would have been in, and therefore you have to celebrate Purim as well. Okay, getting back to the Mishnah now. One more thing, by the way, that we're saying when we say that the villagers makdimin le Yom HaKnisa, there's a very interesting explanation that the Yom HaKnisa over here refers to Tainis Esther. And the vote would be, so in other words, according to that, the villagers come into town for Tainis Esther in order to hear the Kriya that takes place on that day. So therefore, we're saying we can move up the Megillah reading to Tainis Esther. Now, usually Tainis Esther is going to be on the 13th. But the Mishnah would be implying sometimes it happens earlier on the 12th. For example, if Purim is on Shabbos, so you don't, instead of moving it up to Friday, where nowadays Purim can't fall on Shabbos, but in those times it could. So then you'd move up the fast to Thursday, which is the 12th. Sometimes it can be the 11th, as we have nowadays when Purim comes out on Sunday and Tainis Esther is moved back to the previous Thursday. So that way also you have the 11th, 12th, and 13th are possible days when Tainis Esther could fall out. So not like Rashi and most of the other Rishonim that learn that the Yom HaKnisa is Monday and Thursday, but rather that the Yom HaKnisa would be Tainis Esther. There is Bechlal, there are other Rishonim who learn from what we're going to talk about. The Gemara further down is going to say, Yudimol Zman Kehila Lakolahi. A number of Rishonim learn that refers to Tainis Esther as well. Bechlal, the whole thing, where we learn, where is the source of the fast on Tainis Esther, is really not so clear. So you have some of the Rishonim say it actually says right there in the Megillah, Divrat Tzomis V'Zakosem, but a lot of them say that no, it was only a much later Takana, or even a Minhag, which is why this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that therefore there are certain Kulos, where if a person is not feeling well or whatever, there's more of a reason for them to be Makel on Tainis Esther than the other fast. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah continues, Ketzad. So what do we mean? What are the scenarios where the Megillah, what are each of the possible days when the Megillah can be read? Chalias Yudalad Vasheni. If the 14th of Adar comes out on Sunday, comes out on Monday. Kfarim Bayoros Gdolos Kodim Bay Bayoim. The villages and the big cities laying on that day. So the villages laying on that day, because that itself is the day when they come into town. As we said, they come in on Mondays and Thursdays. And the regular cities, that's the 14th, that's the day they lay in. The walled cities lay in the next day, which would be Tesvav Adar. The Meiri points out, by the way, why does the Mishnah begin with Monday rather than Sunday? Because the Mishnah wanted to begin with a day when everybody, when the villages and the big cities are laying on the same day. If we began with Sunday, we'd have to be talking about where the villages are laying the previous Thursday. Next, Chalias Bashlishi Oibaravi, if Purim comes out on Tuesday or on Wednesday, Kfarim Makdimin the Yom HaKnisa, then the villagers move up the laning to Yom HaKnisa, which again, if we say that Yom HaKnisa means Monday or Thursday, as most of the Rishonim, as Rashi and most of the other Rishonim do, then it means that they're laning. So if Purim is on Tuesday, then they're laning the day before Monday, which is the 13th. And if Purim is on Wednesday, then they're laning 2 days earlier on Monday, which is the 12th. The big cities lane on the 14th itself, and the walled cities lane the next day, which is Thursday, which is the 15th of Adar, or Wednesday or Thursday, as the case may be. If Purim comes out on Thursday, then the same situation as Monday. The villagers and the big cities all lane on that day, Thursday, because the villagers are in town on that day. And the ones who are surrounded by a wall laying the next day. Chalias Erev Shabbos. If Purim comes out Erev Shabbos, then Kfarim Makdimim the Yom HaKnisa. Again, the villagers are laying on the Yom HaKnisa on Thursday, which in this case will be the 13th. Vayoras Gdolos Umukofas Chaimah Kodin Bebeyon. Both the regular cities and the walled cities are going to lane on that day, Friday. Namely, because we can't lay Megillah on Shabbos for reasons that we're going to talk about in the Gemara on Daf Daled. So therefore, instead, so the regular cities, that is their Purim on Friday. So therefore, that's when they lay in the Megillah. The Mukafras Choyma also laying on that day, even though normally they would lay in the next day, which is the 15th, but the 15th is Shabbos, and therefore they can't. They have, we're going to talk about, we'll talk about in connection with the Gemara, what cities are considered walled cities. Lamaisa nowadays is the only city in the world that they know for sure that it's a walled city from the time of Yeshua ben Nun is Yerushalayim, and therefore Yerushalayim, they celebrate Purim on the 15th. And you have, for example, this past year, that when you have such a kavius or Purim on Friday, and therefore Shushan Purim on Shabbos, they end up having what's called Purim Meshulash, a three-day Purim, because the Rabbah, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim about 500 years ago, established this minhag, the way that they do it now, namely that they split up the observances of Purim over the 3 days. They lay Megillah on Friday, and they have the Purim Sunnah, and they have the Purim Sunnah on Shabbos, and Shabbat Manas, and so forth on Sunday. As we'll talk about, we'll Bezus Hashem, get to details of it here and there in the Gemara. Next, Chalias B'Shabbos, if Purim comes out on Shabbos. Now again, not all these Kviyos in the Mishnah are able to happen nowadays. Nowadays, with our Luach Kavua, the Purim, the 14th of Adar, cannot be on Shabbos or Monday or Wednesday. But in those times, when there were Mekadosh Al-Pi Ra'iyah, it could. So if Purim came out on Shabbos, Kfarim Vayoros Gdolos Makdimin V'yom Rekorim L'yom HaKnisa, both the villages and the big cities move it up and lane on the Yom HaKnisa, which would be the 12th in that case. Namely, since the big cities can't lane on Shabbos, so instead of moving it to Friday, and instead they move it to Thursday, and they go together with the villagers. The villagers anyway are going to be laning on Thursday, so therefore they combine together with them, so they lane then. And again, the cities that are surrounded by a wall lane the next day, which is Sunday. Chalvius Achar Shabbos, if Purim comes out on Sunday, then they're the same as usual. The villagers move it up to the Yom HaKnisa, which in this case is 3 days earlier, the 11th. So therefore, that's the earliest it can be. The big cities lane on that day, the 14th. And the walled cities lane the next day. So that covers all the possible cases. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. We said Megillah Nikris B'Yud Aleph. We said the Megillah can be lane as early as the 11th of Adar. The Gemara says, Menolon. Where do we know that from? The Gemara asks back, what do you mean, Menolon? What do you mean, where do we know it from? Come on, we're going to explain later. Chachamim hekilu ala kfarim, that the Chachamim made a kula, that the Chachamim made an exception for the villagers. Lias makdimin l'yom haknisa, that they can move up the laning to the Yom HaKnisa, to the previous Monday or Thursday, Kadeshi Yisapu Maimu Mazen Lachem Shebakraken, so that they can be free on Purim and be able to supply food and water to the for people for their Purim Soda on Purim. The Gemara is actually going to discuss that later and say it's not really Kadeshi Yisapu, it's Mishum Shemasapkin, it's like as a reward for them for the fact that they do that. The point is, people who live in the big cities don't prepare and grow their own food. They get it from the villagers. So therefore, since the villagers are giving, the way we're saying the Lashon over here, again, we're going to work on it again on Daf Dalet and work it out in more detail. But right now we're saying, in order that they should have time on Purim to supply, to come to the city and bring water and food, therefore the Chachamim allowed them to move it up to the previous Yom HaKnisa. So what do you mean, how do we know you can lean on the 11th? Because of that. So the Gemara answers, Anan hachi kamin. Right, okay, our question is not where we know it from. Our question is, mechti, let's consider. Kulu anshik nesagdola teknivu. We have to assume that the anshik nesagdola, to begin with, when they set up the Yom Tov of Purim, they had to have set up that you could conceivably lean the Megillah on those days, 11, 12, or 13. And you have to say that the Isak that Anshik Nesagdola Yudalad V'Tesva of Tachun. If you're going to say that the Anshik Nesagdola said that it Davka has to be only the 14th or 15th, then also how could it be also Rabbanon? Would it be possible that the Chachamim would come, but Akri Takante Takinu Anshik Nesagdola, that later Chachamim would uproot a Takana of the Anshik Nesagdola and say that no, not everybody has to lane on the 14th or 15th. Some of them can lane it earlier. Can't be, but nan, we learn in a Mishnah in Adius, ein based in Yochel Levato, Dibre based in Chaveri, one based in cannot override something, a takana of a previous based in, Elim can go to men of a Chochmah dominion, unless that next based in is greater in Chochmah and in number. So Chochmah means exactly that, the greater Chochamim in Torah, which we're generally not going to have because it's in the Skatma Dirtis, the generations get lesser as time goes on. Minyan, there's a few different explanations. What minyan is, does it mean age? Does it mean the Rambam says the number of Chachamim of that time who agreed with the Takana of that Beis Din? Whatever, the point is, there's no greater Beis Din in later times than the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So it can't be that we would say the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said that you have to lane on the 14th or the 15th, no other time, and then later Chachamim would say, but you know what, we'll make an exception for the villagers. It can't be. Obviously, then it must be that to begin with, when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah set up the Yom Tov of Purim, they set up that part of the takana was that the villagers are allowed to lay in earlier on the 11th or 12th or 13th. So now the question is heicher miza. So the question is not where we know it from. The question is, given that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah themselves made a takana and they're the ones who wrote the Megillah, where did they put a remez for this in the Megillas Esther, which they themselves wrote? The Ritva explains the question. The Rashba and the Ritva talk about it. When the Gemara asked Menolon, and the Gemara asked, what do you mean? Be in Lomain, come on. The question is not really the Gemara's question is not really why. What do you need to know it from? Don't you know this Braisa? The Chachamim are not all expected to know the Braises. What the Gemara is really saying is, he says that the question is, where do we know it from? In other words, is it a takanas chachamim? And the answer is, of course, it's a takanas chachamim. But it's not a takana. Don't think it's a takana of the chachamim of the Mishnah of a later time. Necessarily, it's a takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So, where do we know it from in the Megillah? So, Amar Rav Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Because the pasuk in the Megillah says l'kayim es me'a purim ha'ela bizman nehem, that Mordechai and the Chachamim and Esther wrote to them that and telling them that they should observe the days of Purim bizman nehem, in their times. So that means zmanim habe tiknu lahem. That means the Chachamim established many different days when you could lay in Megillah. So the Gemara says ha'im yiboyle legufay. What do you mean? You need the word bizmanehem to tell us that the actual din itself, that that the regular cities have one day and that there are different days of Purim, the 14th and the 15th. Without that, how would you know? The answer is imke lemakor zman. Fine, but the pasuk could have said zman lekayimus. You may have Purim ele bizman. You may itself mean 2 days, so it would mean you have to observe the 14th and 15th in their appropriate times, which the earlier psukim talk about the 14th and 15th. So bizman would mean on those days, which I mentioned a few psukim earlier. So it could have said zman. My zman nehem, when it says in the plural, their times means zmanim tova, means many times. The Gemara says, still, don't you need the word zmanehem to teach us that the different times, that the different places have different times? In other words, we shouldn't think, for example, that the walled cities have their choice whether to celebrate Purim on the 14th or on the 15th. No, we're saying they have their own day, which is specific to them, the 15th. They cannot celebrate Purim on the 14th. So we need the word zmanehem for that. The answer is imkein lemakor zmanam. Fine, the pasuk could have said their time. So you'd have a plural meaning their, but you would still have a time. So that would mean their time. Each one has their own time. My zmanehem, but you're saying their times. So there's a plural on the there's a plural meaning their, and there's also a plural on the word time itself. So therefore, shamat minakulu. So therefore, you can learn from that both that the regular cities and the walled cities have Purim on different days, and also that there are additional days that the Chachamim said that you could lay in Megillah. So the question is, Eima Zmanim Tuva. Okay, but in that case, maybe say that it means many days. In other words, that maybe there's far more than these extra 3 days that you could lay in Megillah. In fact, the Yerushalmi over here talks about that, brings an opinion that you could actually lay in Megillah anytime during the entire month. Because the pasuk says the month that was turned for them from sorrow into gladness, etc. So therefore, the Yerushalmi actually says you could lay in the Megillah the entire month. The Bavli here clearly is not taking that opinion, but still, from the words manehem, maybe it means that you could lay in Megillah anytime during the entire month. The answer is zmanehem dumya dizmanam. The answer is fine. We do have the word zmanehem, which is a ribui. On the other hand, we're saying that the fact is, we're saying that primarily it could have said zmanam, which would mean, in other words, that the regular cities and the walled cities have their own time. Therefore, ma zmanam terei af zmanehem terei. Therefore, the word zmanam, we're saying the word zmanam that it could have said means 2 days, 14 and 15. Therefore, zmanehem has to be to add two additional days. Now, what are those days? The Gemara says, ve'ema treisa or tleisa. So maybe say that it means the 12th and 13th. So you don't have a dispensation to lay Megillah as early as the 11th, only as early as the 12th. The answer is we can't say that. Just as Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok says further on in the Sugya, that the 13th of Adar itself is the Zman Kehila, it's the time when everybody gathers together. So Rashi says that means that was the time both in Shushan and in all the other places in the empire where they gathered together to fight against their enemies, to defend themselves. So that itself was the time when they gathered together to fight. So therefore, we don't need a pasuk to include that you could lay in the Megillah on the 13th. Obviously, that was the day that the Nes happened. Therefore, we don't need to include it. We don't have to have an extra pasuk to be marbe. So automatically, we know that you can lay in on the 13th. So therefore, the hochanami. So the same thing we can say in this connection is yud gimel zman kehilah lakoli v'loit sarach l'rabuye. We can say by the same token again that the same thing. In other words, we don't need to say that the 13th is a day that you should be able to lay in Megillah because that was the day when the Nes itself happened. The Ran has a different explanation of it. He says fakir. The day that they fought is obviously not in and of itself a day that you should be able to lay in Megillah. After all, that was the day when they were fighting, not a day when they were resting. But rather, we're going to say that we're including the 11th and 12th. We're saying, let's say, fine, let's exclude the 13th for the moment. But once we're saying you can lay on the 11th and the 12th, it's not logical to say that you can lay then and then you have a day in between the 13th when you can't lay and then you go back to the 14th and the 15th you could. So therefore, we kind of sneak in the 13th over there through the back door, so to speak. But not like Rashi says that to begin with, we would assume the 13th is the ideal time to lay because that was the day the Nes happened. Fakir, it would not be the ideal time, but once with Maibra, the 11th and the 12th, automatically we have to be Maibra, the 13th as well, because it's between them and Purim. Okay, the Gemara says, Ve'ema Sheets Avashiv, sir. Fine. Maybe say the days when you're allowed, the extra days when you're allowed to lay Megillah are the 16th and 17th, the 2 days after Shushan Purim. The answer is V'lo Yaver. See, the answer is the Pasuk says that Purim will be V'lo Yaver. So literally, V'lo Yaver means it'll never pass away, that Purim will always be celebrated. But we darshan also that it means you cannot pass beyond those days and lay Megillah anytime after that. The latest that you can lay Megillah is the 14th in regular cities and the 15th in walled cities, nothing after that. So therefore, so by elimination, we're saying that from Bizman Nahem, we're learning two extra days, and those two extra days are the two before the 13th. Again, when we say Yud Gimel Zman Kehila Lakolhi, there are a number of Rishonim who learn that Zman Kehila Lakol means the day of Tainis Esther. So in other words, the day when we gather together anyway in Shul to hear Vayichal and to say the Tefillahs together for fast days. And therefore, according to them, you have already a source in the Gemara for Tainis Esther. And again, some of them say even you have a source for it in the Pasuk, Divriat Semes V'Zakosam. The majority of Rishonim disagree with that, though, and say that the whole concept of Tainis Esther is only a minhag that developed in later times. You see, we learned back in Masechet Tainis that in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, they actually had a Yom Tov on the 13th of Adar, a day when they weren't allowed to pass. Yom Nikah, no, we learned about a couple of weeks back. Okay. So that's all one way of explaining how we know that you were able to lay in on the 11th and 12th. The Chachamim themselves put a hint to it in the Megillah in the word Bizmanehem. Next. Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni says, here's a different source also in the Pesukim of Megillah Esther. The Pasuk says that you should celebrate Purim like the days on which the Jewish people rested. Therefore, it means Yomim Kayomim. It means you have days, extra days like the equivalent of the days before. In other words, you have the 2 days when they rested. So therefore, you have two other days that are included when you can lay in Megillah. namely Yomim Kayomim Lurabas, Yudal Fi Yudbeis, so therefore that includes the 11th and the 12th. Again, the question is Eva Ema Treso place. Maybe you add in the 12th and 13th, and there's no source for the 11th at all. And again, the answer is, like we said, Omer Shmuel Yitzchok, Yud Gimel Zman Kehila Lakolhi, Vloit Sarach Lerabuya. This was the original context in which Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchok said his statement that the 13th is the day that they gathered to fight their enemies, or the day when they're gathering for Tainas Esther. Therefore, we don't need a ribui for it. So therefore, the ribui must necessarily refer to the 11th and the 12th. What about, again, the Ema Shitza B'Shivsa? Maybe the pasuk comes to be Marbe with the Yomim is the 16th and 17th. Again, V'lo Yavok, say it can't, because the pasuk implies that you cannot go beyond the 15th in Lane in the Megillah. Okay, so we have two different ways of learning the hint in the Megillah that you have two extra days, from the word Bizmanehem or from the word Kayom. So now, why do we have two different opinions? Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, my time like Omer Bizmanehem. Why doesn't Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni learn from the word Bizmanehem, like the first exponent, like Reb Shaman Bar Abba? The answer is Zman, Zman, Bizmanehem, Le Mashmalei. He doesn't hold of this that we said that it could have said Zman and could have said Zmanom, and instead he says Bizmanehem. He doesn't hold of all of that. Therefore, he holds it had to say Bizmanehem to teach us again that the regular cities and the walled cities have Purim on different days. Therefore, he doesn't have that pasuk available. He doesn't have that word available for a Drosha. What about Rav Shaman Bar Abba, my timer, Loi Omer Mikayamim? Why doesn't Rav Shaman Bar Abba learn from the word Kayamim? And the answer is Amalach Ahula Dura Sugachdiv. That just comes to tell us that in future generations, they should be celebrating the 14th and 15th the way they did the first time around. But not to say that there are extra days when you can learn Megillah. Therefore, we need to learn that from Bizmanehem, where it could have said Zman and it could have said Zmana. So that's that. So we have two different ways of learning from the Pesukim that the Chachamim established extra days for learning the Megillah. However, Amar Rabba Baba Chana Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Zu Dibir Rabba Kiva Stimasa. This is all according to Rabba Kiva, who is the Stam Mishnah. Namely, so Stimasa, Rashi says two possibilities. One is it means that in many places you have Stam Mishnayis like Rabbi Akiva, and this is one of them, and we're going to see the Chachamim argue. The other possibility, Rashi says in general, most Stam Mishnayis are like Rabbi Meir, most Stam Tosefta is like Rabbi Nechemiah, etc., etc., and they're all Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, Rashi says, therefore Rabbi Akiva can be called Stimasar, like all the Stam things come from him. However, Rashi doesn't like that explanation, because we find sometimes the word Stimasar is used of other Tanoim as well. Anyway, so our Mishnah is Dafka according to Rabbi Akiva. The Darsh Zman, Zmanim, Zmanehem. He darshens from that word Zmanehem, where it could have said Zman, it could have said Bizman, or it could have said Bizmanom, and it says Bizmanehem. Avo Chachamim Omrim, but the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and they say, Ain Kurinos, Hello Bizmana, there's no dispensation for the villagers. Everybody has to lane on the 14th regular cities and the 15th walled cities. The Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction. A Brisa says, Omer of Yehuda, Amasai, when does this apply that you're able to lay in the Megillah earlier? Bizman shashonim ketikunan, when the years are established the way they're supposed to be, meaning by Beis Din listening to Edim and then sending out Shluchim, and the Yisrael shruyin al masam, and the Jewish people are living all or mostly in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, by the time Pesach comes, they can reach even the ends of Eretz Yisrael and tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh Nissan was, and therefore when Pesach is going to be. Abba b'zman hazeh, but nowadays, Holom is staklin ba, since they look at Purim, and we'll talk in a second what that means, ain't koin no se'ela b'zmana. Then we can only lane it in its proper time. So what does it mean, staklin ba? So Rashi says what it means is like this. People don't have, you don't always have the shluchi base, that are not always able to reach all the outlying areas. Based in themselves is not always being Mekadosh al-Pi Ariyah. Sometimes the Goyim or whatever interfere with it. So what happens is people figure, we know when Purim is. We know that 30 days after Purim is Pesach. So therefore they plan accordingly. What happens now if you're going to lane Megillah earlier on the 11th or 12th or 13th, people are going to mistakenly think that day itself is Purim. They're going to count 30 days from that. They're going to start celebrating Pesach a couple of days early. And then at the end of Pesach, the last day of the Pesach, they're going to think Pesach's already over and they're going to be eating chametz. So therefore, we don't want that. There's a couple of other explanations among Rishonim. What Mistaklin Ba is, the Rosh and then Rif and a number of other Rishonim talk about that it means that the Aniyim are looking forward to the day of Purim to receive Matanas Levyonim. So if you lay in Megillah earlier, then nowadays, in other words, the point is you have many more poor people than you did in earlier time. So therefore, they're going to be expecting to get it on the day when you lay in Megillah, and they're going to be disappointed because you're not giving Matanas Levyonim then, you're giving them on Purim itself. So therefore, we don't, or people are going to give more generously on Purim, so therefore, we don't want that. There's also a girsa, not mistak lin, but mistak nin, meaning that they're endangered. Which means, the Rosh says, the fact is, we live mostly among the Goyim. They're not really all that happy about us celebrating Purim in the first place. After all, we were commemorating that we defeated the Goyim. So therefore, to lay on the 14th or 15th, to have one day of Purim in one place and one in another place, fine. But if we make too many days of laying in the Megillah, then it's likely to provoke it's likely to provoke more animosity among the Goyim, and they may be mevatel. They may try to make us be mevatel the Yom Tov altogether. So mistaknin, we're going to be in danger if we try to have too many days of laying in the Megillah. Anyway, so Rabbi Huda is saying that. So now Rabbi Huda aliba deman. So now when Rabbi Huda is saying that there's a difference between the time of the Beis Mikdash, or the time when the Sanhedrin was Mekadesh Alpiyariya, versus afterwards, which opinion would he be following? Ilema filo de Rabakiva, Ilema aliba de Rabakiva, are you going to say according to Rabakiva? Well, Rabakiva doesn't hold that there's any difference like that. Rabakiva should hold that takana applies even nowadays. After all, Rabbi Akiva lived after the time of the Churban, and he was saying that the Stam Mishnah goes according to him. Now, it's true Rabbi Akiva lived before the Churban, but most of his activity was in the time after the Churban. Besides which, Rabbi Akiva himself is not making any such distinction. So therefore, we have to assume that he's talking that always, whether in earlier times and now. So it can't be that Rabbi Yehuda is talking according to Rabbi Akiva. Ela lava libid Rabbanan. Evidently, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is according to the Rabbanan. When the years are being properly established by Beis Din, and when the Jewish people are mostly living in Eretz Yisrael, then still the implication is Rabbi Huda is saying you're allowed to lane. So therefore we see, in other words, that the Chachamim, so it must be that the Chachamim, even the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Akiva, would hold of this concept of lane in the Megillah early. They just say it applied only in earlier times. So therefore, Tiyufta did Rabbi Yechanan, therefore that's a contradiction to Rabbi Yechanan, who says that the Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Tiyufta, that's it, it's a contradiction. Ikadamri, another version of this whole discussion goes as follows. Amar Rabbi Babachona, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Zu Divir Rabbi Akiva Stimasah, that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva, a Stam Mishnah. But the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say nowadays, because the Sanhedrin is not being Mekadesh the Chodesh, and or because Jewish people are not mostly living in Eretz Yisrael, since everybody looks at Purim, again, according to the various explanations we just said of Mestak Lin or Mestak Nin, and Karina Sala Bismana, therefore you're only allowed to lane on the day itself. So in other words, according to the second version, the Chachamim don't disagree with Rabbi Akiva that there was originally such a takana, but Rabbi Akiva says you can do it even nowadays, and the Chachamim say no. Tani Nami Hochi, so then that fits with what we said in the Braisa. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Emesai, Rabbi Yehuda says, when there's all the supply, what the Chachamim are saying that you can do it on the 11th and so forth. When the years are being properly established and the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore that fits with what Rabbi Yechanan is saying, that the Chachamim limit it only to the earlier times, Rabbi Akiva doesn't, and Rabbi Yehuda is going according to the Chacham. Now, the Gemara points out, Rabbi Ashi kashaled Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Ashi realized that there's a problem, that Rabbi Yehuda seems to be contradicting himself. Because we just said a braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda says that in earlier times you were allowed to lane on these days, but in later times not. So, but on the other hand, we're going to have a Mishnah later on in our Perek, where Rabbi Yehuda says something different that seems to contradict that. And therefore, mukim lo the braisa kid of Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Rav Ashi has to say that the Braisa goes not according to Rav Yehuda, but according to Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. So there's no contradiction. Namely, the question was that brought Rav Ashi to do that. Umi Amar Rav Yehuda Bizmana Zeh Hilam Staklin Ba Ein Koren Oitzel Bizmana. You're telling me Rav Yehuda says that nowadays you can only lane on the 14th or 15th, no earlier. Or Aminu, the contradiction is, Rav Yehuda says in a Mishnah later in our prayer, Amasai, when does this apply, that you can lay in on the earlier days? Makam shenichnosim b'sheni uvachamishi, in a place where the villagers come into town on Monday and Thursday, namely, Rashi says, where there's a based in Kavua, and therefore we said they come in order for their dine, they come for their dine Torah. So when they're coming in on Monday and Thursday for their dine Torah, then we allow them to lay in on the previous Monday or Thursday. But in places where they don't come in on Monday or Thursday, namely where the nearest big city doesn't have a base in Kavua anyway, then you can only lay in its proper time, the 14th or 15th. So implying so the implication is Rabbi Huda is saying even nowadays, even when Beis Din is not being Mechadish the Chodesh, or when Jews mostly live outside Eretz Yisrael, etc., Rabbi Huda is not mentioning that particular point. He's saying that still you can continue to follow this minhag of laning on the earlier days as long as there's a Yom HaKnisa and they come in for it. So therefore, for the Bizman Azesi, even nowadays, because of that, Rav Ashi was forced to umokim while the Braisa could have Yesi Yehuda. Therefore, Rav Ashi was forced to say that the Braisa is not Rav Yehuda, but rather Rav Yosi Ben Yehuda. So Gemara says, what kind of a thing is that? Umishim dekashale de Rav Yehuda, de Rav Yehuda, mukim lo de Braisa ke Rav Yosi Ben Yehuda. So what? Is that a reason to say that the Tana of the Braisa got the name of the Tana wrong? Say rather, in other words, that what it is there's two Tanoim who argue within what Rav Yehuda said. So the answer is Rav Ashi Shmiele, Rav Ashi himself had heard from the Chachamim of his time, the Ikka, the Tani Laker of Yehuda, the Ikka, the Tani Laker of Yosi by Yehuda, that some of, not everybody was learning that the Braisa that we said before was Rav Yehuda. Some people already were saying it was like Rav Yosi by Yehuda. Umi de Kashale, the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda. So therefore, Rav Ashi figured, since that, if we say that that Braisa is appointed Rav Yehuda, then he's contradicting what he says in the Mishnah that we just said before. Omar, so he says to himself, "Man de Tony Lach Rabbi Yehuda lav davka." It means that whoever taught it as a brisa in the name of Rabbi Yehuda is not being exact. He didn't. He made a mistake over there. Or man de Tony Lach Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda davka. Whereas whoever said that it's according to Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda is definitely correct. And therefore, in other words, it's not that Asi made up a name of a Tana for this purpose. There were already some people who were learning this Braisa with the name of that Tana. So Rav Ashi is confirming, given that otherwise the Braisa is, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be contradicting what he says in the Mishnah, then better to say, rather than saying that there were two Talmidim who argued within what Rabbi Yehuda says, better to say that one of them is Rabbi Yehuda and the other one is Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda. We said in the Mishnah, walled, cities that were walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, Kohen b'chamisha asur, they lay in on the 15th. So Menani, really, where do we know that such cities have Purim and Kriyas and Megillah a day later? Omar Rava, or Rav, it says on the side, the Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Al-Kena Yehudim Aprozim, therefore, because of the story of Purim, the Jews who live in unwalled cities, Rashi mentions, by the way, the word prozim is related, the word poruz means spread out. People who live in an unwalled city are able to spread out more, their neighborhoods are further apart, so therefore such cities are called prozim. Or prozim. So the Pasuk says the Jews who are prozim, who live in unwalled cities, hayoshvim ba'orei aprozim, who live in the unwalled cities, so, and they lay up, they keep Purim on the 14th. So since the Pasuk mentions the 14th and the 15th, mid prazim ba'aba also, since the unwalled cities do it on the 14th, the implication is Mukop and Machamish also. The walled cities, it must be due on the 15th. So the question is, Ve'ema prazim ba'aba also Mukop and Kvalo Kvaloi, who says, maybe what the Pasuk means is Jews who live in unwalled cities celebrate on the 14th. People who live in walled cities don't celebrate at all. So the 15th would refer to Shushan itself. Anybody who lives in Shushan in future years celebrates Purim on the 15th. But where do you know all the other walled cities? Now, this fits very nicely with the Ramban's explanation from before that, to begin with, the people in the walled cities, the Chlal, did not celebrate Purim in future years because they didn't think they had been in such danger until Mordechai informed them that they actually had been and Bechlal that were making a takana for the whole Jewish people, and therefore you have to be included. But the Gemara, therefore, is taking as a possibility that maybe, in fact, it remained the way it was originally. The people of the unwalled cities spontaneously celebrated Purim. The Chachamim never established Purim for the other walled cities except for Shushan. So how do we know? My answer is back. What do you mean? The Lav Yisrael Ninu. Aren't they Jews? Again, the fact is, Mordechai and the rest of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah established it as a Yom Tov for all time, for all Jewish people. Necessarily, therefore, the people in the walled cities have to celebrate it also. But after all, the Pasuk also says that he wrote to all the Jews from Hodu to Kush in the entire empire of Ahasuerus. So therefore, and told them that they have to keep Purim. So the implication is even the people in walled cities throughout the empire have to keep Purim. There is a machlokas Rishonim, by the way, whether you have a city that's walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun outside Eretz Yisrael, do they keep Purim on the 15th or not? Based on our Gemara over here, on the face of it, yes, but there are Rishonim who learn, since the Gemara is going to say soon that we learn it from a din that applies to Eretz Yisrael, maybe it only applies to cities that are walled in Eretz Yisrael. There actually was an interesting thing. In earlier times, they had a minhag in various European cities by Ashkenazim and various Asian cities by Sfardim, where they used to actually lay in on the 15th without a bracha as well, on a suffix that maybe the city was Mukaf Choyim and Mimotzi Yeshua ben Nun. They did that in Prague and in Krakow and in Istanbul and in other places. And it's a little hard to say that these places could have actually existed as cities, let alone walled cities, from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, but that was the minhag at one time in these places. Anyway. So necessarily, therefore, the walled cities have to have a Purim. And so therefore, if the regular cities is the 14th, then the walled cities is the 15th. Okay, the Gemara says, fine. The aim of prozim ba besar, mukofen ba besar over chamesar. Maybe it means the unwalled cities have Purim for only one day, the 14th. The walled cities have 2 days, the 14th and the 15th. Kiddich tiv, as after all, the Pasuk says, lias oisim es yom ha-bo osa l'chodesh adar, ve'esim chamesha osa boi b'chol shana v'shana, to observe the 14th and the 15th, the Chachamim told them, every year. So therefore, maybe the walled cities have a two-day Purim, and the regular cities only have a one-day Purim. The answer is, e have a kosev, es yom ha-bo osa v'cha misha osa, fine. If it said the 14th and the 15th without the word es in between, kiddikamrit, then you'd be right. It means that there are some people who keep Purim 2 days. Now that you have that extra word, then the S comes to break it up and say that no, everybody only has 1 day Purim, some the 14th, some the 15th. So therefore, so some have it the 14th, some have it the 15th. Okay, still the Gemara says maybe it means the aim of Prozim Bar Besar, maybe it means the unwalled cities have to have Purim on the 14th. Mukofen, Ibo ba beso, Ibo ba chamesar. Fine, maybe it doesn't mean the Mukofen have to have it on the 15th. Maybe it means they have a choice. They could celebrate on the 14th if they want, or on the 15th if they want. So that way you'd still be covering. You'd say that it's either one or the other. You don't have a 2 day Purim, but not that they have to be limited to the 15th, but rather that they could do it on the 14th if they wanted. And the answer is, we said before, Omakrub is manehem, because the Pasuk says that Purim takes place in their times. Meaning, we said, so it means the different cities, the different kinds of places have different days Purim. None of them overlap. So therefore, the regular cities, and you can't say the walled cities could celebrate Purim on the regular day if they want. They have to celebrate it on the separate day. Okay, the Gemara says, fine, maybe it means the walled cities make Purim a day earlier on the 13th. And therefore, again, the 15th would be specifically for Shushan. So you'd say the 13th for other walled cities, the 14th for unwalled cities, and the 15th specifically for Shushan, where they had the extra day to fight against their enemy. The answer is Kishushan. We have to assume that the other walled cities are like Shushan in that regard, since the Pasuk, after all, is not telling you when the walled cities make Purim. It's not saying explicitly, and we found that Shushan made on the 15th, then we assume that it means, we have to assume that it means that the 15th is the one for all walled cities. Okay. Now, Ashkechan Asiya. Now, fine, that all establishes, the Pasuk is talking about that these are days, Lias Oisin, to make the days of Purim. So therefore, so fine. So that applies to Asiya, that applies to the other mitzvahs of Purim, Shalach Manes, Matanas Lev Yonim, the Purim Soda, that those have to be on different days for regular cities and walled cities. What about Zechira Minayin? Where do we know that the remembrance of the nest, namely Kriya Samagila, also takes place on the 14th and 15th respectively? And the answer is, Omakrava, Yom Ha'elin, Zechorim Menasim. The Pasuk says, these days are remembered and done. Therefore, itkash tzchira la'asiyah. So we have a hekesh between the remembering by laying the Megillah and the doing, namely that they both take place at the same time. So whatever day you lay in the Megillah is the day when you're doing Shalach Manes and the Purim Soda and so forth. So therefore, once we establish that the regular cities do do the mitzvah support him on the 14th, then they also do the Kriyas and Megillah on that day. And once we establish that the walled cities, all walled cities, do it on the 15th, then they also lay in the Megillah on the 15th. Okay. The Gemara says, Masnissin Deloiki Haitana. Now you should know our Mishnah that says that the cutoff point is whether the city was walled in the time of Yeshua ben Nun is not like the following Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korchaim, he says the key thing is, was it walled in the times of Ahasuerus? So they lay down the 15th. So the Gemara says, my time is to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha say that that's the time? He says, ki Shushan, because again, we're comparing the walled cities to Shushan, so they should be as similar as possible to Shushan. Ma Shushan mukefes chomim mois Ahasuerus. It was walled in the time of Ahasuerus. It wasn't necessarily walled in the time of Yeshua ben Nun. The code in Bachamisha also, and we see that Shushan lanes on the 15th. Of course, Mokaf is coming, but it's Achashverish, code in Bachamisha also. So the same thing, any other city to be considered a walled city for this purpose means it was walled in the times of Achashverish. So the Gemara says, the Tana is Dan, my timer. Okay, so then why does our Tana disagree and say that it's Mimois Yeshua ben Nun? So he says, Yalif Prozi Prozi, because he learns Xeda Shava on the word Prozi. We're saying over here the Jews who live in the unwalled cities. In Parshas Devarim, Moshe refers to the cities that they conquered from Sichon and Og. There were many unwalled cities. So over there we're talking about unwalled cities. But the point is, in other words, cities that were unwalled, as contrasted with cities that were walled in the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Afkan, Yeshua ben Nun. The same thing over here. The key thing is, what was its status in the time of Yeshua ben Nun? Rashi seems to say that this is a real Gzeira Shava. A number of Rishonim have a problem with that, because how can you make a Gzeira Shava from a Pasuk in Chumash to a Pasuk in Megillas Esther? We say that Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Lo Yafin. So they say it's not a real Gzeira Shava. It just means it's a remez for the fact, in other words, that the definition of Prozi depends on how things were in the time of Yeshua. Now, why are we mentioning Yeshua, by the way? This pasuk was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, because we're saying that Yeshua is the one who led the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael and then conquered it, and therefore we're mentioning it based on his name. Also, a couple of the Mephoshim talk about the Nura and the Mishnah and others, that Yeshua was the first one to fight against Amalek back in Parashat B'Shalach, therefore we associate it now with him as well. Okay, so the Gemara says, "V'shlemer Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha la'omak katana didan." I understand why Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha does not agree with our Tana and say that it's from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. The less like prozi, he doesn't hold of that Gzeira Shava. He didn't learn it from his Rebbe. Ela tana didan, my time la'omak Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. But the Tana of our Mishnah, why does he not agree with Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha? What kind of question is that? My timer. To her, he's like prozi. We just said he has a Gzeira Shava. He learned it from his Rebbe. He follows that Gzeira Shava. What's the problem? Right. Hochikom, the Makshin explains, my question is, Ela Shushan, the Ovid Kamar. In Shushan itself, where they do on the 15th, then who is that like? Like a prozim, but like a mukofin. It doesn't seem to be like the unwalled cities. It doesn't seem to be like the walled cities. Because according to the Tana of our Mishnah, it depends on Yeshua ben Nun. In Yeshua ben Nun's times, Shushan was not walled, or at least not necessarily. So they should lay in on the 14th. But on the other hand, we're saying they lay in on the 15th. So that would be like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. So who is the Tana? So according to the Tana of our Mishnah, why is Shushan laying on the 14th? The answer is Omar Rava. So Rava says, V'amri lo kidi. Others say kidi. In some places, Rashi explains that kidi means a chacham of that name. There are other explanations that it means that it was said anonymously. Anyway, shiny Shushan, it's different when it comes to Shushan, hoyo v'nasa b'nes. Because the Ness itself happened there, so therefore, even the Chachamim who say that you go according to the time of Yeshua ben Nun, they made an exception, and they made an exception for Shushan, because that's where the actual Ness occurred on the 15th. The Yerushalmi gives a different reason why they did the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Because in the time when the story of Purim took place, the cities of Eretz Yisrael were mostly still destroyed. They'd been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and they hadn't yet been rebuilt with walls. So therefore, if the Chachamim were going to make that it goes, like Rabbi Shlomo ben Korcha says, according to the time of Achashverosh, it would come out the cities of Eretz Yisrael would just be considered like plain cities all over the world. They didn't want that. They wanted to give distinction to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, instead, they moved it back to the time of Yeshua ben Nun. And again, there's a remez in it in the fact that Yeshua himself was the first one to fight against the Amalek, and also the fact that you have various other dinim of Torah that apply to Bote or Echoima, which there it does go according to the time of Yeshua ben Nun. So here also they establish that. So we'll finish up that discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and then we'll continue, from there.
Yes, Yeshikayach, have a wonderful day.
Thank you.